Welcome back to the Crypto Daily. Today we dissect crypto's surprising revival and its aggressive push for regulatory capture. Joining me is Alex, a blockchain regulation expert.
Thanks for having me. Crypto's back, all right, but not in the way many envisioned. Its weaponized lobbying and strategic political donations are reshaping the narrative, pushing for a commodity classification that could open a Pandora's box.
The sheer amount spent on lobbying, outpacing even fossil fuels, is alarming. It raises the question, what are they so desperate to hide? Is it the inherent risk, the lack of real-world utility beyond speculation, or the potential for massive scams?
Their argument for regulatory clarity is a smokescreen. They want specific rules, commodity status under the CFTC, to bypass the stricter SEC scrutiny. This would not only legitimize the respectable players, but also pave the way for the degens and outright fraudsters.
It's a classic case of regulatory capture. While touting mundane use cases like stablecoins and depins, they're simultaneously fueling the speculative frenzy with meme coins and gambling platforms. It's a dangerous game.
Precisely. The irony is, a Trump or even a potentially swayed Harris administration might hand them exactly what they want, deregulation under the guise of innovation. And if history's any guide, crypto will survive regardless. The question is, at what cost to the average investor?
Let's shift gears to the intersection of AI and blockchain. DKG-Con 2024 highlighted the potential of decentralized knowledge graphs to address some of AI's biggest challenges, particularly trust and privacy. What are your thoughts on this convergence?
It's a fascinating development. Knowledge graphs, as we know, are crucial for AI, especially for mitigating hallucinations and provenance issues. But centralized control by big tech creates its own set of problems, from bias to data exploitation. Decentralization, through blockchain, offers a compelling alternative.
The conference theme, Trust the Source, underscores this very point. With AI increasingly influencing our lives, ensuring transparency and reliability becomes paramount. Can DKGs truly deliver on this promise?
The potential is certainly there. DKGs can provide auditable trails of information, empowering users to verify the source and validity of data used by AI. This could be a game changer in combating misinformation and building trust in AI systems.
However, decentralization isn't a magic bullet. There are challenges, scalability, interoperability, and the complexity of incentivizing participation in a DKG. What are the biggest hurdles in realizing this vision?
Adoption is key. Getting buy-in from developers, users, and even big tech players will be crucial. Standardization efforts, like those by GS1, are encouraging. But we also need to address the technical limitations, particularly scaling DKGs to handle the massive data requirements of modern AI.
The concerns around AI safety and privacy are also significant. Speakers like Gary Marcus highlighted the risks of centralized AI becoming surveillance tools. Can DKGs offer a more ethical approach to AI development?
Absolutely. By distributing control over data and AI models, DKGs can mitigate the risks of centralized power and data exploitation. OriginTrail's EdgeNode application, for example, allows users to interact with AI while keeping their data private. This is a powerful example of how decentralization can empower users and protect their privacy.
Let's dive into the multifaceted world of Ethereum scaling. Starknet's recent stress test boasted a peak of 857 transactions per second, significantly outperforming competitors. Eli Bensassen, CEO of Starkware, emphasized the importance of scaling without compromising network integrity. What are your thoughts on these results, and how do they compare to the real-world challenges of scaling?
While 857 TPS is impressive in a controlled environment, real-world scenarios present different challenges. Network congestion and gas fee spikes, as seen on Ethereum and even Solana, can significantly impact performance. The key lies in sustainable scaling solutions that can handle fluctuating user loads and maintain reasonable transaction costs.
Beyond Layer 2 solutions like Starknet, the operational risks of managing Ethereum nodes are also coming into focus. The shift to proof of stake has introduced new complexities, from infrastructure resilience to secure key management. How can institutions navigate these challenges and ensure the security of their staked assets?
Initiatives like the Node Operator Risk Standard, NORS, are crucial for establishing best practices and mitigating risks. NOR's certification provides a framework for institutions to manage key security, slashing prevention, and overall operational efficiency. This is essential as staking becomes more institutionalized.
The conversation around institutional adoption of DeFi is also heating up. Public blockchains, with their transparency and interoperability, are gaining traction. BlackRock and Franklin Templeton are already exploring tokenized assets on public chains. What's driving this shift, and what are the potential implications for the broader DeFi ecosystem?
Regulatory clarity, coupled with the operational efficiencies and revenue opportunities offered by public blockchains, is a major catalyst. Tokenized assets on public chains can unlock greater liquidity, streamline processes, and offer new avenues for collateralization and leverage trading. This convergence of traditional finance and DeFi could reshape the financial landscape.
And finally, the stablecoin landscape continues to evolve with FUSD expanding to the Solana blockchain. This move leverages Solana's high transaction speeds and low fees, aiming to bolster FD's accessibility and utility. It's another example of how the crypto ecosystem is constantly adapting and innovating. Moving on to tokenization, Libera and Fundbridge Capital have launched a tokenized U.S. Treasuries fund on Ethereum, with plans to expand to other chains. This Ultra Fund offers digital access to U.S. Treasuries, aiming for a transparent and efficient fund management solution.
This is a significant development. Tokenizing U.S. Treasuries brings institutional credibility to USD-denominated investments within the digital asset space. It bridges traditional finance with blockchain technology, potentially reducing operational costs and enhancing accessibility for a wider range of investors.
Wellington Management's involvement as sub-manager is also noteworthy. It signals growing institutional interest in tokenization and its potential to reshape asset management.
Absolutely. And with Standard Chartered Bank acting as custodian, we see further validation from established financial players. Their involvement aligns with the growing trend of traditional institutions exploring digital asset exposure.
Shifting gears to decentralized AI, DeFi Technologies subsidiary Valour has listed the first ever Valour BitTensor (TAO) ETP in the Nordics. This offers investors exposure to TAO, the token powering BitTensor's decentralized machine learning protocol.
This is an intriguing development in the intersection of DeFi and AI. BitTensor's decentralized approach to machine learning has the potential to disrupt traditional centralized models, fostering greater innovation and diversity in the AI landscape.
Valour's expansion into the Nordic market with this unique ETP underscores the growing appetite for innovative digital asset investment products. So Pyth Network, an Oracle provider, has flipped Chainlink in 30-day trading volume. Pretty significant, considering Chainlink's dominance.
Indeed. While Chainlink still leads in total value secured, Pyth's pull-based model seems to be gaining traction, particularly for high-frequency applications like trading. It's more efficient for real-time data.
Nicholas Kunkel, CEO of Chronicle, another Oracle provider, pointed out that Chainlink's push-based model, while reliable, hasn't kept pace with DeFi's rapid evolution. He sees this as an opportunity for providers like Chronicle and Pyth.
Kunkel's point about Oracle's being the Achilles heel of DeFi due to their role in past hacks is well taken. This shift towards pull-based models could address some of those vulnerabilities by optimizing for speed and reducing operational costs.
Let's talk about Owl2 Finance. They're tackling DeFi fragmentation with their bridge swap services, aiming to unify liquidity across multiple blockchains.
Their intent-driven trading model, powered by AI, is quite interesting. Users simply express their trading intent, and the protocol finds the most efficient execution path across various chains. It's like a universal DeFi router.
Their use of zero-knowledge proofs and decentralized node operations also addresses key security and privacy concerns in cross-chain transactions, a space that's seen significant exploits.
Owl2's impressive growth, reaching a peak market share of 33% in the cross-chain bridging space according to DefiLlama, suggests their approach is resonating with users. It will be interesting to see how their intent-driven model evolves and impacts the broader DeFi landscape.
Shifting gears to legal battles, a Hong Kong court just sided with investors against JPX, a now-defunct crypto exchange accused of massive fraud. This ruling is significant not just for the victims, but as a precedent in a region grappling with crypto regulation.
Absolutely. This JPEX case, dubbed Hong Kong's biggest alleged financial fraud, highlights the risks in unregulated exchanges. The court's decision to grant a declaratory judgment, especially in the defendant's absence, underscores the strength of the plaintiff's case.
The plaintiffs are now working to recover the frozen funds, which could prove challenging. Meanwhile, in the U.S., we're seeing a different kind of legal action, a novel FBI sting operation targeting crypto market manipulation.
Operation Token Mirrors is fascinating. The FBI created its own token and a fake company to lure in fraudsters, leading to several guilty pleas already. This innovative approach shows how law enforcement is adapting to the complexities of crypto crime.
It's a cat-and-mouse game. As regulators and law enforcement develop new strategies, so too will those seeking to exploit the system. Both cases underscore the ongoing need for greater transparency and regulatory oversight in the crypto space. From legal battles, we turn to the wild west of online gaming, where cheaters are running rampant in the hot new Web3 title, Off the Grid. Gunzilla Games is so desperate, they're offering a $500 bounty for anyone who can identify the cheat software plaguing their game. What are your thoughts on this, David?
It's a fascinating, albeit somewhat desperate, approach. On one hand, it shows Gunzilla is taking the cheating problem seriously. On the other, it raises questions about their internal anti-cheat measures. Why rely on players to do the work that a dedicated security team should be handling? It smacks of outsourcing security to the community.
Some players see it as a positive step, while others criticize it as cost-cutting. Meanwhile, the gaming token market is taking a hit, with some analysts suggesting AI tokens are stealing the spotlight. Do you see this as a trend?
It's certainly a narrative shift. The hype around AI is undeniable, and it's pulling investor attention away from other sectors, including gaming. However, I think it's premature to declare gaming tokens dead. There's still a lot of potential in the space, especially as Web3 gaming matures. The key will be delivering engaging gameplay that seamlessly integrates tokenomics, not just slapping a token onto a mediocre game.
Speaking of engaging gameplay, we also have the rise of clicker games like Catizen. While some find them addictive, I personally find them rather mind-numbing. What's the appeal?
Clicker games tap into that primal urge for instant gratification. The constant progression, even if it's just numbers going up, can be surprisingly compelling. Catizen adds a layer of complexity with the cat breeding mechanic, but ultimately, it's still a game about accumulating virtual resources. It's a genre that thrives on simplicity and accessibility.
It'll be interesting to see how these trends evolve. Thanks for your insights, David. That's all the time we have for today's Crypto Daily. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and analysis from the world of Web3.